So I guess I need you to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Cole Alexander. I'm in the Black Lips.
I'm Joe Bradley.
Jared Swilly, I'm also in the Black Lips.
And we're missing one. He was in the bathroom or something. People can read the bio. Wikipedia exists. Social media exists. So I'm more interested in revisionist history. I can fill in the blanks. It's been a while. This band is not brand new by any stretch of anyone's imagination. I think it was officially 99. What has been completely misguided and completely effed up about history that we have an opportunity to correct here?
We played a show and we had some acts of indecency, and they threatened to call the police on us, and we heard the punishment was 4 years. So our tour manager said that they're calling the police. So we drove out of the state of Tamil, which is their jurisdiction, and then all our shows got canceled because all the other promoters heard about it. So we had nothing left to do except just go home once we got out of the state of Tamil. So some people were like, oh, maybe that was just like a publicity stunt.
I would just say, well, a lot of people think we're jerks, but like we're actually real nice guys, southern gentlemen.
Just acting as jerks.
No, we just like to have like fun and kind of do whatever we want to do. Like, we don't set out to hurt people or anything. But some people are real uptight, I guess, and it just, we get, our actions get misconstrued as being like immature jerks.
But are you getting more mellow in your old age?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't gonna like have to stop writing about you shortly.
No, I think people, they expect certain things, or they think certain things that are crazy are happening less frequently, but they're happening at about the same rate.
The other thing you do to deserve your reputation in a good way is you work your asses off. I mean, 2007, South by Southwest, I was there. I counted 12 shows.
Yeah, we worked our ass to the bone that year, but it really paid off. Like, we got our name out there. And for a lot of people, we were still a new band at that point, even though it had been like 7 years in.
You've been on a lot of movie soundtracks, haven't you?
Fact.
As far as like adverts, it's kind of funny. Like, it used to be really taboo to sell your song to a commercial, but now I look at bands, like a band like Coldplay, they're keeping it real, quote unquote, and have never sold a song to a commercial ever. Meanwhile, we've sold like six songs, like six commercials. So like, what's the cool thing to do now? Like, who's cool?
You know what the cool?
I think all those lines are blurred nowadays by the internet and lack of record sales and the whole notion of selling out. I mean, the thing is with using your stuff for that is, like, if you're not writing a jingle for that thing, then who cares if someone uses it? I'll get a check in the mail for not doing anything. But
I say, you think Martin Scorsese cares every time the Rolling Stones get played in his movies? No, because he wants them there, because he loves them.
Well, the thing is where you cross the line is we just turned down an ad for American Eagle wanted to take one of our songs, Bad Kids, which is about when we were younger and doing bad things, but they wanted to have these kids, little kids play it, and they were going to change it to Rad Kids, and wanted the lyrics to be about how much you loved your parents and doing your chores and playing on the playground.
That's kind of killing it. No.
Everything we stand for, so that would have been morally wrong.
Just because the lyrics were so ridiculous, it was like comical, but then we were worried nobody would get the joke, so we didn't.
No, you got to have your soul. You can't do that. And so I didn't even know until I dug in about three or four songs who produced this thing, which is kind of interesting. But I did say, okay, it's got the soul of the band, but they have partnered with somebody. And then I kind of looked and said, oh, speaking of Mr. Deer, and, you know, that was a couple of tracks. And then there's Mr. Ronson, who is definitely an interesting choice. Now, he, if I hear the story right, he was a fan of yours, right?
Yeah, I think he was familiar with Good Bad Not Evil. And we were familiar with a couple of his records, like Old Dirty Bastard, stuff like that. So, okay. Yeah, he really tried to, like, let us breathe and do what we do good and just kind of add on to that. He was real into making every song have, like, some sort of unique thing, like a weird percussion or a saw or some kind of weird thing to make each track unique. But more or less, it was just us doing our thing.
Who's the girl on the cover? Who are the girls on the inside? Let's get to the important stuff.
That's our friends. I told them I wouldn't say their names. They just kind of wanted to be anonymous. But they're just some hippie chicks that we...
Just some hippie chicks. And you bought them the dresses?
We had, like, some props and shit that we used. But they didn't wear anything, really.
We went to high school.
Well, yeah, that's my point exactly. I do go beyond, I do look inside to see what's going on, and I'm like, well, if you want the male target audience, just, you know, reverse the cover and never mind.
One of the logics when we were doing it is, do you remember that picture? Both the girls are Indian. One's Indian, one's black and Indian.
Right.
And remember the picture of Jimi Hendrix and the two white chicks?
Oh,
and that pissed off all the right wing. It was supposed to be kind of like a reversal, like a bunch of white dudes with some darker
really,
chicks.
Did you get people really annoyed?
No, it was just like a spin off on that kind of.
So you did 10 days versus spending a year on a record. Do you feel like it was that mainly due to that you were on the road doing 250 friggin' shows, or did you actually say to yourselves, okay, you know what, we want to see what happens when we spend more time?
Sure. Both. Yeah, we didn't tour as much because we were spending more time, actually.
Wow. But we were still touring. Like, it wasn't a year solid. It was like different blocks,
right,
you know, throughout the year, because we'd have to be touring.
But this was still pretty. I mean. Was this a you and Ronson choice? This is pretty. This was pretty luxurious for you to have all this time making this record, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no real time constraint, so we just waited till we were done making enough songs for an album.
We wanted it to be different than the last one, like, just because the situation with the last one was we had booked a tour for that album before, so it was like, you have to finish on this date. And this one, we're just like, we're going to finish it when it's done.
So let's straighten this out for people. Arabia Mountain is not in Arabia. It's in DeKalb, right?
Speaking of the Ramones, Pet Sematary 2 was shot at Arabia Mountain, and they did the song for their soundtrack of One, Part right. 1.
So Atlanta, really, the music has changed around you. You haven't changed around the music, because you came out as who you were, and let's face it, you're not singing Sweet Home Alabama here.
In the early 2000s, when we came out, there was like Nashville Pussy, and like the only bands that we could play with were like grindcore bands and like traveling punk acts like Osrodden or something like that, you know. There wasn't much to play with back in the day, but it's a lot different now. It's a lot more rock and roll bands and garage
bands. Is that Ted Turner? Did Ted Turner change the city?
Okay, you want to know some of the Black Lips heroes? Ted Turner's at the top of the list of Black Lips heroes. I would do anything to meet that guy. I think he's genius. He's just, if all billionaires were like him, the world would be a much better place.
Ooh.
A lot drunker place.
He donates more to wildlife funds than anybody in America.
He does. He helps save the Gullah territories in South Carolina from development, like from golf resorts coming in and pushing the Gullah people out.
And the buffalo, too.
Maybe you could get Ted Turner to go on tour with you. What do you think? Would that be kind of an interesting? He could be your opening act. Come out and do his thing.
I wish he was our, like, who's the person that speaks for like a company like in public?
Press secretary.
I wish he was our press secretary.
Okay, you've heard it here, Ted Turner. I'm gonna call him on the way.
Well, he also owns like 35% of Nebraska too, Ted Turner.
And there you go.
He doesn't like that. Is that other guy?
Oh yeah, Warren Buffett. Yeah, the Sage of Omaha. Him and Ted Turner, I don't know. Actually, they're probably pretty similar.
No, Warren Buffett's the kind of billionaire that we don't like. That guy is uptight and he's mean. And
Murdoch's uptight. Buffett, he was quoted as saying, like, I think the rich people, I've never been so rich. I can afford to pay more taxes.
You are an international band. Now, in particular, the UK is always interesting to me because I interview so many bands from the UK that are dying to make it here. You know, the first thing they say is, you know, because a gold record in the UK, you know, 300,000 copies. It's kind of like, okay, you go to the UK. But you've been embraced there in a whole different kind of way, and I don't think it's with the same controversy here. They really kind of, you know, have embraced you for the music more so, have they not?
Yeah, they love our sensational side. They love that for their broadsheets as well. But they've taken to us pretty well.
I'll tell you something. There's a big, you know, Atlantic divide, and people over here are a little more uptight, a little more God-fearing. And, you know, over there they have this attitude, kind of like continental cool, pretty casual about everything. It's not a big deal. You can wear, you can go to the beach naked.
I mean, I really like the NME magazine, even though it's like a teen zine. There'll be like so many bands packed in there, and then next week they'll forget about all those bands. But it's still cool that you get to see so much music and content on a weekly magazine.
Okay, this is very personal, and I've got to know this. This is very important to me. Did you ever give the kid who stole your equipment his stuff back?
We called his dad, and that's the worst. That's the worst thing you can do, because his dad had to take him down to the pawn shop in front of Cole, and he just looked at the ground the whole time. It's better to shame somebody than to. If you punch them, then their nose will heal. But you know those. Yeah,
so you just went.
Shame doesn't wash off.
Right. Deep.
You
You just went right to the dad. Hey, hey, listen. Your son. Your son.
Son's a dope fiend and sold all this stuff to pawn money for more heroin.
For a horse? What's your favorite track on this record? And tell me a little bit about what it is and why.
I like Don't Mess Up My Baby a lot. I just like it because it's...
I mean, those lyrics, really, like I said.
Yeah, I like the lyrics. I like the...
I mean, I almost want to name like a Barbie doll after the after that song. What do you think?
The subject matter is a little bit dark, but you know the song. the song itself is kind of feel good.
Yeah, but
I written those lyrics originally for a country song. I wanted to make like kind of one of those like outlaw country songs.
Yeah.
But we needed some lyrics for one of Ian's instrumentals, so I just kind of transposed and tacked it on.
My favorite on the album is Dumpster Dive because it's like a feel-good song and it brings back great memories of finding awesome trash in upper middle-class neighborhoods that are really wasteful. They throw out everything. Got like a 1940s Ohio electric lap steel. I found collector's coins, several computers, two laptops, countless TVs, couches, record players, Osama bin Laden toilet urinal pads, like all kinds of stuff.
Is that why I saw you out back of this venue just before we had this interview perfecting that?
I know. I had to fight off some woman, some like Hispanic lady who was trying to get the bottles.
What's your favorite song?
The other guy in our band, Ian, he always says this, I love all my children the same.
Do you?
You can't love one more than the other. Yeah. You know, otherwise it would be unfair.
So when you were listening in the car, was the one that you actually decided to tap your toe to more?
Well, I've been kind of into the Mr. Driver song lately just because it's a lot different than some of the other stuff we've done in the past, so that one's kind of refreshing to me, but I won't say it's my favorite.
So when how do you work with the record company on singles? I mean, how do you do...
The whole art form of a single.
The whole concept of a single is kind of goofy anyway.
I look at it like this. There's some songs we like. Maybe we'll make a music video for it. That'll be kind of a single. But then also sometimes the audience will pick a single. People will be like, really love a certain song and it'll take off and an advert will want to use it and you have no control over that.
Right.
So that's the beauty of the new single system.
Well, we've done about 300 of these. I call it a musical sandwich. It's two of your songs as the bread and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.